Hey guys, welcome back to the Six Side Cultural Podcast. Today it's just me and Danny. You know, the Franny and Danny show returns once again. Unfortunately, we couldn't get Enzo on for this week, but he does send his best wishes after Roma got the much-deserved and much-needed win against Cagliari that we'll be diving deeper in later this podcast. But first, we're going to start off with the Milan-Bologna game from match day 9. We had midweek this week, plus the weekend's match, so we have a lot of games to uncover, a lot of drama. I'm sure you guys could tell I'm not the happiest of people this week. Danny's on cloud 9, and Enzo's just been released. So, Dan, I'm going to go ahead and start with you. What are your thoughts on the Milan-Bologna crazy, crazy game?
Yeah, like, to begin the week, what a crazy game. Milan took an early 2-0 lead, and then all of a sudden, Bologna came back down to 10 men early on. An own goal by Zlatan and a great finish by Baro to make it 2-2. And then Soriano gets a red card. So Bologna down to 9 men, and Milan took advantage of that. And they found a way 4-2 over Bologna with Bennacer getting the third. And then Ibrahimovic sealing the deal. Bennacer was absolutely incredible this match. He was probably the man of the match for me. And it was a big win for Milan, especially now, keeping par with Napoli, especially because Napoli later on that midweek, they didn't get 3 points, they didn't get the win, but it was a great match regardless. It was a tough match against Roma, but we'll jump into that later on. It was a big win for Milan. This is a characteristic win, I'd like to say. They found ways to win. Bologna, they played tough. I gotta give Bologna credit, even down to 9 men. They played hard. They just couldn't hold on. It's always tough when you go down to 10 guys. Now, especially now, it's even tougher when you go down to 9. So it was a big win for Milan, and they get to they're still undefeated this season, and they maintain at the top. They're tied with Napoli currently.
Yeah, it was definitely a crazy match. I definitely, going into the game, I thought Milan was going to get a very comfortable win, but the game was very tough. Obviously, it's always tough when you're away from home, especially when Bologna went down to 10 men early on. I thought, okay, Milan's going to wrap this up quickly, especially when they were up 2-0 after that beautiful Calabria goal. And then, shocker, Bologna came back, like you said, Danny, 2-2. And then I thought after they went to 9 men, I'm like, holy shit, are they going to really hold on? Because Milan was just getting chance after chance. They just couldn't convert. And then Bennacer came to save the day at the 84th minute to kind of secure the win. And then Ibra kind of just put the nail in the coffin for them. So definitely a scary moment for a Milan fan, after Bologna tied it up for sure. But they crawled through and they made it through to not only stay undefeated, but to stay down, Napoli's neck for the top place in the Scudetto race, but a very crazy game indeed. Dan, I'm going to take it away with you, buddy. Napoli, Roma, yeah. Run me through what happened there.
Yeah, no, it was a very entertaining match. Even 0-0 was still an entertaining match. Both sides had respectable chances. It was just a very well defensive game, especially from Roma's aspect. They defended very well. Now, we had a few chances in the match. Osimhen off the It was an unlucky deflection that went off the post. Like, it was just scrambles. For me, I was very impressed with the way Anguissa played. I thought he was man of the match. He was winning the ball in the middle of the park. He was getting out of tough situations, making smart plays, which he's been doing since he's arrived from Fulham. So I was happy with the way he played. I was very disappointed with the way Zielinski played. I know he's coming back from a knock. He doesn't look 100%. And I feel like this was the game he shouldn't be starting. I would like to see maybe Elmas get the nod in this game, but he was disappointing. He lost the ball a lot of times. He was the reason Abraham almost scored. He lost the ball. I believe it was Cristante won the ball from him, played in a beautiful ball to Abraham, who couldn't capitalize. He just missed. And Zaniolo, he was causing problems for Mirarui all game. But luckily, he settled in. He had a very strong start. He was getting the better of Rui the whole first half. As the game went on, Rui kind of settled in. He ended up having a pretty strong performance, in my personal opinion. But it was a very tough match, and I was happy with the point at the end of the game. I'm happy with the point. because going into the Stadio Olimpico, it's always a tough place to play. And if you can get a point, especially on the road, you take it. And I knew Roma were going to bounce back after that midweek disaster against the Norwegian team. Roma are a good team. They got a great coach. It was weird seeing both coaches sent off at the end, especially Spalletti at the end of the game, for which appears he said to Messa, good game, ref. I guess the ref saw it in a sarcastic manner because the game could have got chippy. And luckily, I personally, I think if there was a score line, like maybe a 1-0 for Napoli or 1-0 for Roma, I could see a fight coming out. That's how competitive it was, especially towards the end of the game. And it was just it was a good point for both sides. If Enz was here, he probably could have talked about his perspective on the match. But as for Napoli side, I'm happy with the point. I think I could probably speak for Enz too, say he was happy with the point. It could have gone either way. It was a very entertaining game for a 0-0 draw. And I'm just happy with the way we played. And at least we didn't lose. And it shows that Roma are not an easy team to beat. They're a very tough team, especially when they set up defensively. They're very strong. And they're a tough team to get by.
Yeah, well said. This game was definitely, obviously, if you just look at the score, you'll see, oh, 0-0, what a boring match. But the game was just a defensive masterclass from both teams. It was just both teams trying to break each other down, just failing to do so. Like you said, Dan, Anguissa was everywhere. I feel like he's probably been Napoli's player of the season so far.
I would probably argue Koulibaly, but Anguissa has been solid for us ever since he's came. Our midfield looks so much better, and he brings a lot of calmness, getting out of good positions with his dribbling. And I have to check the stat, but I want to say he probably leads the league in interceptions. This guy, every game, gets like 5 or 6 interceptions, and it's just crazy.
Yeah,
solid for us.
Yeah, ever since he's came, almost every game, he's always been talked about of having an amazing match or a man of the match performance. Obviously, Koulibaly's there. But Anguissa's definitely helped Napoli tremendously, and he goes to show you guys are undefeated so far in the season. Your winless streak is over because of that tie with Roma, but you're still undefeated, top of the table. So you can't go wrong there, and he's definitely been a huge help for that. But I definitely think Napoli could have won if they took their chances wisely.
Ozymane
should have went in. But at the end of the day, you can't complain. You got a draw. You didn't lose. But I definitely think a lot of Napoli players and fans could have felt the result go the other way, especially with Spalletti's reaction at the end of the game. I feel like he definitely thought that the game could have went in Napoli's favor much better in the referee's book. And it's kind of why both coaches got sent off, which was just a crazy ending to that whole fiasco of a game. But very entertaining, probably one of the most entertaining games this season for a 0-0 result, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's a result that Napoli, you have to be happy with. We had a few chances that we messed up. I just didn't like the way we approached the final third. It seemed like we were just too predictable on the day. And I think, the game we're going to be talking about later on, Napoli-Bologna, we were much better attackingly and wise. But give Roma credit, they defended us well, and they didn't let us create our space. And they held Osimhen a lot in check, but he also had a few chances that he could have buried. And he actually had a goal that was ruled offside, which was totally the correct call. A few calls here and there that me and Enz could both say, we didn't agree with this call, we didn't agree with this call, but overall, it was just an entertaining match.
Yeah, of course. Now, I think all the fans are rallying up, sitting up in their seats to hear this, but we got to move on to the Derby d'Italia match. A lot of controversy in this one, especially that last penalty call. Dan, I'm going to let you start off I kind of dive in.
Yeah, I'll make it quick because I know you have a lot to say. Another very entertaining match at the beginning. What a shot by Calhanoglu to begin the game. Jekyll was there to pair home. And then for me, I wasn't really impressed with the way both sides played. I just felt like it was, obviously it was anyone's game, but for me, I felt Juve were the better side on the day. They got that last minute penalty, which at the end of the day, it's a debatable penalty. I think it's a penalty, which swallows me. Like, I hate to say it. It's a soft penalty to give. And I think it was a penalty at the end of the day. The tie helped us perfectly. It was a perfect result for us. Very strong game. I like the way that Locatelli played. I felt like he was very good. Darmian, this guy, ever since he went to Inter, he's been playing like the Darmian people thought about. Personally, he was very good. Just a very entertaining match. And it's always entertaining when it's Juve and Inter. I don't think I've seen one game in recent times where it was like a stalemate. I wasn't entertained. This game had everything, and I'm surprised that there was no red cards handed out near the end of the game.
Yeah, well said, especially with that penalty call. I'm definitely going to go more into detail as I give my analysis, but I feel like ever since that Chelsea game, I've had hope for this Juventus side under Allegri. After playing the 4-3-3 with the false nine, I feel like it just opened up the attack so much more, and we just got so many more chances, and we were so fluid from the midfield to the attack. And then Allegri just decides to go back to this 4-4-2 that, again, when we talk about the Sassuolo game, just doesn't seem to work. And I know he's stubborn and it's never going to change, but this 4-4-2 just, and these lineups, they need a change. From the get-go, playing Bernardeschi, this guy, I don't know what he has to offer for Juventus anymore. And then having Chiesa and Dybala both on the bench was just a mistake willing to happen. But Inter, you know, I feel like they dominated us for most of the game. That first goal, I can't blame anyone for. I think it was just a beautiful shot by Çalhanoğlu. That just unlucky by Chesney, you know, he did make the save and just bounced right to Jekyll's feet. So it was kind of lucky on Inter's part, but it was a great goal nonetheless. And from then on, they kind of sat back and just let us control the game a little, but we were getting dominated until Chiesa and Dybala and Kyle George came on. When they came on, our attack seemed more fluent. It flowed nicer. We were dribbling past the defense more. And then obviously we got that lucky penalty with Alexandro. It definitely was a penalty. A lot of Inter fans are saying it wasn't a penalty. Like Danny said, it was a soft penalty, but it was a penalty. Dumfries went for the ball. He missed the ball and kicked Sandro's foot inside the box. It was very close. I think it was right on the line, actually. So it definitely was a penalty. It just... Very soft penalty, very controversial. Obviously, it could have went both ways. And thank God for Dybala scoring that penalty to save a draw for us. But we need to change something with these lineups. I think the formation is the first to go. I would like to see a 4-3-3 with Dybala at the false nine. And then Chiesa and Cuadrado on the wings, or Chiesa and Kulusevski. Just something new, something innovative that we had in that Chelsea game that just we haven't seen since. It seemed to work against Chelsea. We were the Champions League winners last season, and we're going back to 4-4-2 and struggling and losing games just to Sassuolo, tying to Inter, but fair play. Obviously, going into the game, I felt like we could have won the game, but knowing how the game went, I'm very happy with the draw, considering we could have easily lost that game if that penalty wasn't converted. So very grateful for that draw, and fair play for Inter. Just, you know, I don't know how many warnings Inter had to get before they got a yellow card. So it felt like every tackle, it was a foul, but with no cards, it was just warning after warning. So that was a little frustrating from my end. But nonetheless, it was a very entertaining game, I'm sure, as a neutral. And I think both Juve and Inter fans were pleased of the result. Regardless of that penalty call or not. But moving on, I think just quickly recapping, Dan, if you have anything to add on please jump ahead. But Tudor's men ran wild at Lazio and Maurizio Sarri, 4-1. I was definitely not expecting that score.
My boy Simeone with four goals.
That he was crazy that game. It felt like he was everywhere, just in the right place at the right time, dribbling past opponents, scoring. Obviously, the first two goals came within 6 minutes, so it was just crazy to see. Not only, like, they started off on a hot start and they continued that. Wasn't expecting that from Sadio Lazio at all. Kind of just broke down as the game went on. What do you think went wrong here, Dan?
I think it's just the story of Sarri, like, with defense. He focuses a lot on attack and the midfield, but the defense, again, not a very strong backline. If you look at it, they had Husai, Radu, Patrick, and Murisic. None of these guys are, in my opinion, are top defenders that will win you games. For me, it was just a very unorthodox backline. It was very unorganized. And Simeone, who I was always a big fan of him. Not much as before. I thought he could have been something, but I'm still a fan of his. And got four goals. And when I saw that, it brought a little smile to me. I like Simeone. I like his father a lot, and I think he's a good player. And just to see Verona 4-1 against like a team like Lazio, it's unheard of nowadays. These smaller teams. Upsetting these bigger teams, but it's the new era of the Serie A. Every team can beat any team any given week, and you have to show up or these teams can hurt you.
Yeah, of course. I feel like going into that game, I definitely thought it was going to be close, but I didn't think Verona would run wild like that against Lazio, so it was definitely a shock. I guess to many Serie A fans, that could have been a shock, but it was a very good win for Verona. It just shows the competitiveness of this league, and a team like Verona that a lot of people put down, they're just as tough as a team like Milan or Inter or Juventus. So it's good to see that they got that win against Lazio. Obviously not for Lazio fans, but for the neutral fans of the Serie A, I'm sure a lot of people enjoyed that. But moving on for the midweek games now. We had a very interesting game against with Milan and Torino. Any thoughts on this game?
Milan find ways to win, and that's what championships teams do. Olivier Giroud with the goal. This guy seems like he scores every game or he scores the biggest goals for Milan. Very, very underrated signing in my opinion. It's just there's not much that happened in this match, but it was a good win for Milan. They played well. Torino, once again, I feel like Torino under Juric, they're kind of underperforming. I expected a little bit better from them, but they haven't been playing up to their par. Just a good win for Milan, staying on top and just making Napoli's job even harder because anytime Milan pick up points, it forces Napoli to pick up points. So, for Milan fans, just hope you guys keep on winning. And for especially me as a Napoli fan, I just hope Napoli can play and match what Milan can do week in and week out, because this seems like this title race is going to be a very, very hard one, and it's going to be a long one. And I think this one can potentially last until match day 3-8 if everything can pan out.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, Danny Giroud, he's been fantastic this year. I wanted him at Juve, unfortunately. He went to Milan, but very great signing. Obviously, he scored within the first 15 minutes of the game. And then after that, Milan kind of just let Torino attack them while they just sat back and countered, which seemed to work as they got that 1-0 result. Obviously, it did go back and forth for a little. Torino did have majority of possession throughout the game, it felt like. But Milan definitely held their own with the shots. They made sure they were smart on the ball, especially being 1-0 up. They didn't want to let that lead slip, so they made sure when they did shoot the ball, it did count, and it was a good chance that they had. And Torino kind of just sat back and let it all happen while they were trying to go for that lucky goal, or they were trying to break Milan's defense down. Just were unlucky that game, and Milan secured that win to stay down Napoli's neck, and they were first for a little while before the Napoli game, obviously. But obviously, since Napoli's win that we're going to go into right now, then kind of put them back into second place. So moving on, Napoli Bologna. Then, how are you feeling after this game?
Yeah, no, I was even saying it too, because I had one of my friends come over today to watch the game. I was saying that there's not been one game this year, maybe apart from the Legia game, where I said, okay, Napoli have dominated this game. There's not one time I was worried. I was saying this before the game, but this game, it was one of those games where Bologna really had nothing going forward, and it was just I want to say not perfect game, because no games are perfect, but it was a very solid performance from Napoli. Everyone on the pitch, maybe besides Lozano, played well. I feel like Lozano could have offered more, especially with this defense and the way that Bologna set up. But I was very impressed with Bobby Ruiz scoring a beautiful screamer that was set up by Almas's pass, but Lozano interception. So it was a great goal by Fabian Ruiz. It seems like when this guy scores, he just scores bangers and screamers. Yeah. And there was a stat too that one of my friends brought up. He said that, like, I think he was on Twitter. He saw that Fabian Ruiz has, I think, the most goals from outside the box in the top five leagues. That hasn't scored inside the box.
Wow.
So, like, I think he has, like, 9 goals since the start of, like, 2018 or something like that outside the box, and none of them have been in the box. And – or something. Like, it was just a stat like that. It was just a weird stat. Like, he has, like, one of the most goals outside the box or something. I want to pull it up if I can one time just to see it. But I was very impressed with the way he played. Again, Anguissa had a very strong game. I was very impressed with him. He almost scored a beautiful screamer to make it 4-0. Osimhen had a very, even though he didn't score, it was just a type of game that you had to watch it to understand what he did. And he did the small things really well. He got into good spaces. He created a few chances for us, made some nice runs. He set up the first penalty. He made a beautiful run into the box where Insigne chipped it. Medel handballed it. And then he set up the second one when he won the penalty off of a Mbappe foul in the box. So for me, Osimhen had a very strong game. Insigne got 2 goals, put those misses behind them for now. Almas, I was very impressed with. And surprisingly, not much. The defense didn't do too much. But Rui had a lot of positive play moving forward, win the ball back this game. And I just want to talk about quickly the partnership between Nuramani and Koulibaly.
Very solid so far.
Yeah, so far, like the last, even dating back to last year when Nuramani, after that, say, maybe that Udinese game, and then a few games after, I've been impressed with Nuramani when he was at Verona, obviously, but I've been impressed with him more as their games go on, especially with that partnership with Koulibaly. It seems like this could be our new partnership. Manolas, don't get me wrong, he, on his day, when he's on, he could be a great defender, but it's just inconsistency for him. And I feel like with Armani, he's just been solid. Like, he's just been a rock with him and Koulibaly so far. I've been very impressed with the way our defense has been played. I think we've only conceded 3 goals this year. And it's just crazy that to think that Ospina, in the last 4 games, we haven't conceded a goal in 4 Serie A games or something like that, or 4 games all competition. And I just hope we can continue that, because if the team's not scoring, the opposing team's not scoring, they can't win games. So that's all we need to do. We just need to make sure we get stay consistent, play strong defensively, play to the final whistle, and just battle it out, because this could be the year that we could win the Scudetto. We have the team, we have depth players, we have a coach who seems like he's got the locker room so far. So this could be the year. We just need to continue playing hard. We need to continue developing game plans, make fixing the mistakes that we make the game prior, implementing the adjustments for this game, and taking the things that we do right in this game, especially with the bowling game. We were attacking well. We got into good pockets of space. We were smart passing. We were controlling the tempo of the game. We controlled everything. We got to implement that. And then the mistakes that we didn't make, which were on the defensive side, it seems like at a little times we got caught, but we recovered nicely. Implement that for Sunday's game plan and just get the 3 points and just keep moving forward. And I feel like with this team, if everything could pan out, if we can stay healthy, we can stay consistent, I think this team can make noise this year.
Yeah, for sure. That was definitely a very one-sided game with Napoli Bologna. I definitely felt Napoli just were on their game and Bologna wasn't. It's good to see Insigne get his confidence back, obviously, after the penalty misses. It's good to see him scoring two penalties and getting the confidence and his self-esteem up. And that screamer by Fabian Ruiz was just incredible. Beautiful shot, beautiful goal. And I feel like that just set the tone for the entire match. And then obviously Insigne put those two penalties away to get his confidence up and help Napoli secure that 3-0 win. But it was just, for me, it was pathetic from Bologna. They just looked lost. They looked tired. I don't know what it was. They just looked off on their game.
They were also down, like, they were also missing a lot of players with from suspension, a few guys from injury. I expected this game to be closer than what it was, to be completely honest with you, because Bologna, they got some good players. I like their coach, and they always play tough against these big teams, it seems like, and especially coming off the 4-2 loss, I still thought there was a lot of positives to take away from that game. Even though they went down to 10 men, they came back with 2 goals down. There's a lot of a few positives to take away, and I thought they were going to implement the mistakes into this game. They just look, again, like you said, deflated, tired. So we'll see if they bounce back on the weekend, but I was very impressed with the way we played. I believe at one point we had like 70% possession or something like that. It was just crazy because Napoli and I at one point we were passing around like we were like prime Barcelona, like Man City now. Like we were like, I've never seen it. Like it was just like Bologna just wanted to get in there, play the game, and go back. Like it was just, they seemed like they were tired, they were deflated, and Napoli took advantage of that. So hopefully now we can do that on Sunday and continue our good run of form.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be tricky for Napoli to keep this good of run of form up for the entire season. But so far they're taking it game by game and they've been getting the results they needed. And apart from that Roma game, they've been winning every game. So it's going to be interesting to see how far this Napoli team could go in the season. And now, Danny, I'm going to let you start off here quickly while I collect my thoughts, but I think the Inter fans are licking their lips. The Napoli fans and Milan fans are singing Juventus versus Sassuolo.
Yeah, no, what a shocking game this was. I was shocked. When I saw Sassuolo take the lead right before the half, I was like, okay, this... I go, okay, like, and it's a player too that I'm very like high on, Fratese. I think he had a very strong game. Just take away the goal. He was, for me, like one of the best players on the pitch out of all the players on. He was incredible. And it was just a very strong game. I give Sassuolo a lot of credit. They took it to Juve. Weston McKennie pulled one back, but in the 95th minute, I believe, the 94th minute, like one of the last kicks of the game, Lopez out of nowhere, just, wow, like pulled off the goal. And obviously, French, I know you're not going to be a big fan of this, but what shittery it was from Lopez to do the comma, and then the Ronaldo celebration. He's always been a guy he's had the potential to be something. It's just he's never lived up to that hype that was around him. He scored big goals. He scored last year too against Napoli, scored this year against Juve. And Sassuolo, again, even though they lost a few players, they lost Locatelli, they lost Caputo, they still have a good squad. They have good players. They have some young players that they shouldn't be taken lightly. This is a big win for them, especially because they really haven't been performing I thought they were going to be. So it's a big win for them. Juve, this is a tough pill to swallow, especially because they have some, I believe they have a, who is it? I think they have a big match coming up this week against Verona. That's going to be a tough game coming off this loss. It's going to be a tough game, especially because of Verona, the way they played the last few weeks. So it's going to be a tough pill to swallow for Juve. It's going to be interesting to see what you have to say about this game for Jet, but got to give Sassuolo a lot of credit. They performed well. They hung in there, and they picked up the 3 points at the Allianz.
Yeah, well said, Dan. First of all, I'm going to say what I said about the Inter game. Allegri is way too stubborn with these lineups. Once again, the 4-4-2 just doesn't seem to be working for Juve. It seems like we're hindering our best players. We've seen the prowess and how amazing Chiesa is for the Azzurri, and that's because Mancini plays him on the wing. You could say, obviously, Italy have a better team than Juve, and he has better players around him, especially in the midfield. But at the end of the day, he's playing on the wing. For Juve, you're playing him right mid, so you're giving him a lot more defensive duties that he needs to perform, and he can't really be himself on the field when he's at that right mid instead of the right wing slot. And then you have Rabiot, who, for some reason, Allegri wants him to score more. He wants him to be an offensive-minded midfielder, and that's great. But Rabiot, if you watch him over the years at Juve, and even at PSG in his early days, his strong suit is winning the ball back and sending it up. He struggles a lot with dribbling past an opponent, or he could go on like long strides of runs, and he could go on good runs offensively, but making that final third pass or taking that shot, it just doesn't go for him. So the fact that he's playing left mid makes zero sense at all, especially when you have players like Juan Cuadrado on the bench, who I don't know why he was on the bench, like Kulusevski on the bench, even Chiesa, who could play on the left. I feel like he prefers the left side instead of the right side. Could easily move Chiesa on the left and have Kulusevski on the right, and or have Cuadrado on the right. I feel like the lineup was just completely off in that aspect. The formation was off. It was just a shit show, if I'm being honest. Obviously, it wasn't ideal that DiCiglio got injured. I feel like he could have had a very good game, and Alessandro just wasn't match fit, in my opinion, to play. I don't think he was expected to play. I don't think he was going to come on at all in the game. It just really set us back and made us change a lot of game plans in the first 15 minutes when DiCiglio went down. Locatelli, I think this is one of his worst games he's had in a Juve shirt. A lot of passes were going to the Sassuolo players. I don't know what was happening. I think he forgot he was on Juve. Maybe he thought he was still on Sassuolo. I don't know what happened there, but a very poor game from him. And I feel like the game opened up when we brought on the subs once again. When Kyle Jordan came on and Artur came on especially, I feel like we've opened up Sassuolo's lines more. There are two goals I can't blame Perin for. I feel like it was all on the defense. It was right before half their first goal. I think they just caught us sleeping. We thought the half was over. And next thing you know, Sassuolo scored to make it 1-0. Very, very unfortunate. I feel like I said, we were just sleeping. We weren't paying attention. It was a lack of focus on our end, and we really got to fix that issue. And then when Weston McKennie scored, I think everyone on the podcast knows what my thoughts are when someone scores a goal when it's tied and starts celebrating. He was jumping around doing that stupid Harry Potter wand celebration when we were tied 1-1. I feel like he burnt part of his hair because he has one little blonde patch in his hair now. So it was just frustrating. It was a very good header goal from him. But I just wasn't a fan of the celebration after we're tied 1-1. We weren't getting dominated at all, but we also weren't in the driving seat in the game, which we should have been, especially at home in the Allianz. So it was just a very frustrating game to watch. And then not to mention, I did think we could have won this game. I think we had the chances at the end of the game, especially when, like I said, when the substitutes came on, I think we had a lot of key chances that we could have scored and converted and done a lot better in the attacking third. And in the minutes, in the 94th minute when we thought the game was over, we kind of just hoped for the best and really went for the win and just sent everyone upfield. And then 94th minute, they intercepted it. I think it was like a 3-on-1 chance with Rabiot being the one defender back, which is really funny considering he was the left mid to start the game and he was the only person back. So it just goes to show you that Rabiot is a defensive midfielder and should not be playing left mid at all. But he was the only one back and he kind of lunged at, I think it was Berardi at first, and it was just disaster after this. I was actually on the phone with Enzo and my friend Andrew Manzo from high school. And they just, I was ahead of them, and I just said, Sassuolo just scored before the ball went in the net, because I just knew they weren't missing a 3-on-0 chance, and they thought I was joking, and then 10 seconds later, they just started laughing at me, because they saw, the shithousery that happened, especially with, Maxi Lopez doing the Ronaldo celebration, which, you know, a lot of teams are going to be doing that since Ronaldo's left, and, fair play to them. I would do the same thing if I was a player, just getting the opponent's head. But it was a much deserved win for Sassuolo, if I'm being completely honest. We played like shit. We didn't deserve the win. We only had a few glimpses and chances. But other than that, it was just horrendous. For next week, for the Champions League, for future games, I don't care. This 4-4-2 formation needs to go. I want to see a 4-3-3 with a false nine at Dybala. Being the false nine, if I'm being honest, it worked against Chelsea with Bernadeschi at false nine. Imagine Dybala at false nine. I feel like Allegri needs to be testing this out because this 4-4-2 just isn't working and we just can't keep sitting back and hoping it works against these teams because clearly it isn't. So something needs to change, but fair play to Sassuolo and hopefully this is a wake-up call for Juve and, you know, congratulations once again on Sassuolo for getting, this was their first ever win at Juventus, so one for the history books, and hopefully it's back to the drawing board for Juventus for this upcoming game that's going to be very, very tough.
Yep. Sassuolo, they impressed me this game. Like, there's anytime
you're relentless.
The Allianz, yeah, you go into the Allianz, get a point, even get a win. It's you've done something right, and just to find out that fact that was their first win at Juve, it's just mind-blowing.
Yeah,
it's very mind-blowing.
It pissed me off even more that the Sassuolo coach got the win. Obviously, he's a newer coach to Serie A. I was reading about his story after the game in Serie D for most of his career. So this is his first Serie A club.
He was with Empoli last year, got promoted.
And now, before the game, I feel like this guy's a Juve fan, because before the game, he wanted to take pictures with Allegri, so he was taking pictures with Allegri, and then after the game, you saw him in tears, so I feel like, I don't know, I could be completely wrong, I just assume he's a Juventus fan, because obviously winning at Juventus at the Allianz Stadium is going to be very emotional for any coach, especially of a team like Sassuolo. But if he was a Juventus fan, which I'm assuming he is because he was taking pictures with Allegri and stuff, it just means that much more to him. So, fair play for that coach. As a fan, it pissed me off, but, obviously for him and the Sassuolo fans, I'm sure it was a magical moment. But we just gotta move forward and hopefully, start climbing back onto the ranks. A little setback these past, two games, but now we gotta start focusing on the wins here. But moving on, Roma finally got that much deserved win against Cagliari. Very 2-1 late goals from Ibanez off of a corner, and it's funny. Our friend Ryan predicted in the chat, he was at work, And he said the first half was shit, but in the second half, Ibanez is going to score off of a corner. And 2 minutes after he said that, he turned his phone off to go into work. And sure enough, Ibanez scored off of a corner. And then Pellegrini scored a beautiful free kick. I think it was like 5 minutes after, 6 minutes after, very late on in the game to get that win and come back from 1-0 down. Very, very deserved win from Roma, if I say so myself. And I feel like this could be just another win in Roma's books, and hopefully it's a turning point for them in their season, for them to be start getting more consistent results and consistent wins. But it's going to be tough considering they have Bologna. They have Milan up next. So that's going to be another tough game coming up. But Danny, what did you think about this game?
Yeah, no, it was a much needed win for Roma, in my opinion. Two set pieces. I remember, I think En said something too, like thank God for set pieces. In the chat, yeah. But Ibanez, he was very good this match. Got the goal. He also played pretty well defensively, and it was a much needed win for Roma, especially like the recent results they've had. Obviously, a tie against Napoli, I think you should see as a positive result, even if you're at home. Just going against this top club, like these top teams, and just like honestly, like Roma in the past, even the last few years, their record against top teams hasn't been the best, and I feel like that's what's keeping them down. But this win, it's a big win. Starting with the positive result against Napoli, picking up 3 points against Cagliari, especially on the road in Cagliari. It's always a tough place to play, with their fans just being so passionate and just the way they play. It's a tough place. So it's a big win for them. And like you said, Francia, like this could be a turning point for them. This could not. I just want to know, like, for you personally, I think it may be, depending. They just have to be better in these bigger games. I think Enz could agree with me. They have to just win a few of these big games, and they have the chance to against Milan this weekend. So that's going to be a tough game. It's going to be – let's see what Roma team comes out. But for you, I just want to pitch the question to you. Do you think this win against Cagliari could be a turning point for Roma, or do you think they'll just pick up the points against these smaller teams, and then against the big teams, they – don't perform?
Yeah, I just think Roma's been too inconsistent this season. I've had high hopes from them from the beginning of the season. If you guys watched that podcast, I think I predicted them to come second or third place. But I feel like their team on paper is very solid. They have a great midfield. Their defensive partnership has been working this season with Mancini and Ibanez and Patricio in the back. I feel like that back three has been really solid. I think their problem is just the attack. They have players like Abraham, Pellegrini, Zaniolo, Mkhitaryan, El Shaarawy. They have the players necessary to score goals, but for some reason, they just aren't converting chances. And I feel like that's one piece that Roma's been struggling with this entire season. And once they figure that out, I think then it could be a turning point. But until they get more consistent with converting their chances, I just think it's just going to be a slippery slope for Roma. It's just going to be a bumpy road. It'll be one game win, one game lose, one game tie, one game win. And I just don't think Roma are going to catch a break this season, unfortunately. The way the season's been going, I feel like if they could get into a solid momentum and start converting their chances, they're definitely going to be a dangerous team, especially in the second half of the season. But I just think they need that confidence and that for bit of luck for the first couple of games to convert their chances to really be that team to turn the leaf and really climb up the table.
Yeah, I just think, for me, I feel like they need maybe one, two more players. With Spinazzola coming back, that's going to be a huge boost for them. I just think they need to be more, more critical and bigger games. It's going to be, again, this weekend against Milan, it's probably their biggest, maybe their second biggest game of the season so far. First biggest game of the season. So they need, so far they're 1-1. They tied to Napoli. They lost to Juve, which I didn't think they played too bad against Juve. They just couldn't get the result. But I feel like this game against Milan, it could be the perfect opportunity for them to see what Roma side come out. And I feel like if they could start picking up points against these big teams and pick up the 3 points against the clubs who are not, say, battling for Europe, then, yeah, you have to be scared of Roma. But until then, I feel like, you said, like they're missing a few more pieces. But give them, if it's not going to be this year, I feel like next season, if they can bring in the right players, I feel like they could be a very scary team for next year. But as of right now, I don't know if it's going to be a turning point. But I just think Mourinho's a very good coach. And if they can start stringing some results together, then they have to be a team that you have to look out for.
Yeah, of course. And just quickly before we end off this podcast, I'm just going to go into the other games here that had very good results, were very entertaining for neutral fans if anyone got a chance to watch them. And if Dan, if you want to throw anything in here, just feel free to cut me off and thing. But a game that a lot of people haven't talked about on Twitter recently, which was shocked, was the Venezia and Salernitana game. That was very entertaining, if I might say so myself. Obviously, I had a red card by Empadu. Ribari got an assist. So it's good to see him still kicking. I feel like he's been holding his own over there and really helping the club get some much-needed wins. And then a 95th-minute winner, kind of like the Sassuolo winner against Juventus at the same around the same time frame by Schivone. That was a beautiful goal from him for that goal. I call it the relegation derby because both teams are looking too hot this season. But very entertaining game from there. Then you also had Inter get a very comfortable win against Empoli, 2-0. Vecino, it could have been 3, but a goal disallowed by Vecino from VAR. Di Marco back on the score sheet, so good to see some young talent thrive. And Dan, you were just talking about him earlier, D'Ambrosio. Said he.
I said Darmian.
Darmian. But D'Ambrosio's racking up the goals too now. So it's good to see Inter's bench getting some goals and showing the depth that Inter have this season as opposed to last season as well. They've only gotten better with the team, and it's good to see that the bench is handling the smaller level teams. And then Lazio bounced back from that treacherous result against Verona and get a very back and forth game against Fiorentina, but Pedro secures the goal at the 52nd minute against Fiorentina, who just couldn't find the back of the net against Lazio. Anything to add, Danny?
No, you covered it perfectly. I was just a bit surprised looking at the lineup for Verona that
Simeone was on the bench.
Did
yeah?
start. After yeah.
scoring four goals, you would think.
I guess they're preparing him to start him against Juve.
Yeah, possibly. Maybe they gave him a little bit of a rest after that one-man show.
Yeah, be careful. He doesn't score another 4 goals against you guys.
Hopefully not. I don't know what I would do if we lose 4-0 to Verona.
Simeone 4 goals again? Oh my.
I'd come in the podcast, start crying, start ranting about Allegri out again. It won't be pretty, especially since it's away in Verona. Definitely going to be
I'll buy you a Simeone jersey if that happens.
I think Nedved's going to storm off the field yet again. So it'll be a very entertaining game, nonetheless, to see how that pans out. I'm looking forward to it. Well, not really, if we're playing the 4-4-2, but very exciting matchups to come up for Serie A. Match of the week for me is probably Roma-Milan and Juve-Verona and Atalanta-Lazio. So those three are probably the most games I'm looking forward to. But I think that's
you know what,
that's everything.
I forget to talk about games I'm looking forward to. There's one game that I'm very looking forward to. The first Serie A derby between Salernitana and Napoli in a very long time. So I know it's a Campania derby again. There's a lot of hatred towards each other. I don't know about the clubs, but there's a few the ultras. I don't think get along, and the fans all get along too. So,
oh wow,
there could be some fireworks.
Very scrappy game then.
Could be a scrappy game, and Napoli need to perform because Salernitana is coming off a win, and you can't take any teams lightly in the Serie A. And it proves in the past, and it's proven this past match day, or I should say match day 9. Any team could beat any team, and even on 10, any team could beat any team.
Especially when you have winners in your team like Franck Ribéry. I feel like he could just pull something out of anywhere and get a goal or an assist or do something to kind of help the team win against Napoli. And as a Juve fan, I'm hoping he does. But we'll see what team shows up that day, and hopefully it's a very close game and very entertaining game for neutral fans. Yep. But before we end off, I just want to say one message. The Azzurri women, obviously, they're in the Euro 2022 for this upcoming summer, and I just want to wish them luck in their group, as they got a pretty tough group with France, Belgium, and Iceland. So hopefully they could prevail. Iceland and Belgium don't really scare me too much, but France is definitely one of the best teams in the world, not only for men but for women as well. So hopefully the team could prevail and not only qualify,
but top what the men did.
Hopefully that would be great for Italian soccer. But yeah, that's everything for this week. We'll hopefully we get the whole gang back together for next week's podcast, and hopefully I'm coming off with a smile on my face after a win against Verona. Only time will tell. And that's everything.
Yeah, make sure guys, before we end it off, check out our social medias at Six Side Calcio, both Instagram and Twitter. And we have our podcast too, as well as Six Side Calcio. Our YouTube, we are uploading clips for the podcast. I know we haven't done it in a little bit, but this week I'm gonna try my best to upload. We could try our best to upload a clip, mainly me, because that's what I like doing. I like editing the clips and stuff. But just check it out. It's Six Side Calcio on our YouTube, or Twitter, and our Instagram. So make sure you guys go follow it. Thank you guys for the support you guys been giving us since we started. We wouldn't do it without you guys, and we're going to continue to post daily Serie A content and weekly podcasts. Just thank you guys so much for the support you guys have given us.
Yeah, it means a lot to us. Thanks, guys. Ciao.
Ciao.